We have the flag on stage this morning to honor our veterans. Veterans Day coming up, and you know the Bible says there's no greater love hath a man than one who laid down his life for a friend. And y'all can stand up. You know, Christ demonstrated this on the cross, and this past Wednesday, in our Judge Not session we're doing on Wednesdays, Pastor Spencer Fry shared something that I've just thought about all week, and he said, never stop telling yourself the truth that you have infinite value and worth as a person, because you are created in the image of God, and that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And in Romans 5:8, it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Isn't that awesome? That he calls us his friend. We are made right by him. So this morning we celebrate and we worship a God who died for you and who says you are made right by him. Isn't that good? So let's worship.
Betrayed the sin of man. This next song we're going to sing is called In Christ Alone, and just the first three lines of this song is what I want you to dwell on this morning as we sing it. It says, In Christ alone my hope is found, He is my light, my strength, and my song. All our hope should be in God. You know, so many times we put it in other stuff. As for me, I put it in sports sometimes. You know, I want Auburn to lose tomorrow. None of that matters really, because all hope is found in Christ alone. In Christ alone. So this morning, throw everything aside and let's praise the God Almighty. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, we're firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. What? What heights of love. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. There in the ground, His body is I'll stand.
Oh, burdens and our fears and our cares, God, to your throne, Lord, and that's where we find peace. We thank you for your constant restoration and your uplifting and your wisdom. We thank you, Jesus, for all you are. In Jesus' name. I was reading in Proverbs. I live in a lot of right and wrong. I grew up with, you know, what's wrong, what's right, and not really a lot of grace and love. It says, my child, don't regret the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, and just as a father corrects the child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, for the one who gains understanding. And what I had to learn is that there's not a right or wrong with God. What he does is he convicts us for wisdom and understanding, and the world provides so much condemnation in that wrong. And the Lord is constantly providing that grace and that wisdom, and in all that he does, it's not a what you did, and, you know, very harsh. It's very loving and graceful, and I'm just really thankful that we've been singing a lot about healing and restoration and being at his throne, and just know that God just wants to love you, and he just wants to provide for you, and he wants to bring you wisdom and understanding, and that in all he does is full of love. The base and the foundation is nothing but love, and you are not wrong in his sight, and you are worthy, and you are precious, and you deserve to be at his throne. Praise God. Thank you.
Draw us nearer, holy fountain, come. consume us with you and captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you. Let everything be lost in the shadows of the light of your face. Let every chain be broken from me as I'm bound in your grace. For your yoke is easy, your burden is light, you're full of wisdom, power and might, and every eye will see you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus. Set our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you.
We thank you that we have the moment to give back to you, Lord, to worship and be in your presence. In Jesus' name, you may be seated.
Amen. You know, in order for him to captivate you, you have to let him. You have to put yourself in a position that he can captivate you. As our ushers are preparing this morning to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I want to remind you of just a few things. There's a lot of important information that is in your bulletin. But we have upcoming our Thanks and Giving meal on the 19th. I still need about 3 or 4 people to cook a turkey for that day. So if you are interested in doing that on a Wednesday and bringing it cut off the bone that evening, I would sure appreciate that. You can sign up to do that. Or if you would like to do one the following week for the poor and needy in our community, I still need about 7 people to cook a turkey for that day. So, and then we have deliveries and different things. The ladies' ministry would like for you to pencil in January 23rd on your calendar. It's a Friday evening. They are planning a huge event. They have secured the return for a concert here in the auditorium. And they're going to, it's going to be a 60s, 70s kind of night, and I think they got Griffiths coming in, and so they'll be selling tickets for that type of event. But ladies that are a part of the planning aspect of it, there's a meeting next Sunday right after church. You need to make sure that you're in the conference room if you want to be a part of that planning session. So lots of things that are going on. Brian would really, really like to talk to you after service. He has packages of 10 raffle tickets. He needs some help selling. So if you are interested or willing to sell some raffle tickets for the Primo Smoker out there, he would appreciate that, and see him in the information booth. Let's pray and bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come and worship you. We can be led into your presence. Thank you for Holy Spirit that works and moves in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you can captivate us. The awness of you. Lord, use these tithes and these offerings and alms for the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's one of my favorite songs now. Everybody good?
I
I like this crowd right in here. This looks good. Give it a moment to get the sound right. But started a series last week called The Holy Spirit. And it's going to be a really unique series because this morning we're going to be totally led by the Holy Spirit. So I purposely, the Lord just wouldn't give me any notes this week. They kept hounding me. By Wednesday, they want my notes and get the PowerPoint and everything done. And I kept telling them I don't have anything. He hadn't given me nothing. When he gives it to me, I'll give it to you. And so when I don't get it from him, I wait. And so I didn't get anything. I kept asking the Lord Friday. I said, Lord, it's a Friday. You know, I'd really like to have something. And he said, I'll give it to you when I give it to you. And so when I went to bed last night, I said, you know, Lord, it'd really be good if you would just give me a little something. And so I got up this morning and he just said, here it is. So aren't you glad God just that way? Years ago, God gave me three words. And he said, if the kingdom of God is going to be released in your life, three things, three words have to be prevalent in your life. Number one, you got to have revelation. Revelation is what God reveals to your heart. Revelation is not a mind thing. Revelation is something that comes to the spirit of man. God said that he didn't say, I'll write my laws upon their mind, their intellect. He said, I'll write my laws upon their heart. And that's where God writes his laws. That's where it is. It's in the spirit of man. He said, if you want to release the kingdom of God, it's got to come out of your heart. You got to have revelation. Second thing he said to me, you got to have illumination. And illumination is when that revelation has become such light to you that you have an enlightened mind, if you will. Bible talks about that once we were in darkness, but we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the Bible says that the light has come and the light has become the life of men. And so he said, you got to have revelation. You got to have illumination. And third but not least, last but not least, you got to have inspiration. You got to be inspired. You've got to be inspired. And my father handed me a Bible years ago when I was called into the ministry, and he placed it to me, and this was his words: if you want to be inspired, take this word and put it in your heart. Memorize all that you can memorize. Because Dad's favorite scripture was John 6:63. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And you got to be inspired. Joy, what I really love about your blogs is how you end them every day. Now go and be the most positive, enthusiastic person you can be. And by the way, thank you for those words yesterday. I usually don't Facebook back and say, hey, thank you. I'd like to do it in person. Thank you for those encouraging words. Inspiration. Enthusiastic. See, it's not, you've got to be enthusiastic about it. See, the Bible says, serve the Lord, be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Not just serving the Lord, but be fervent about it. You know, yesterday, they're not here today, but Lauren Stewart sits right back here, and her mother-in-law, Shane's mom, ran a half marathon yesterday. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's 13 miles. I didn't know what a half marathon was. I had to ask Barbara, what's a half marathon? She says 13 miles. They ran 13 miles yesterday. 13 miles. You did a mile, Keith? Did you say? Yeah, one. Good. Now, I didn't run that. My wife is on a goal next year to run a half marathon. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I'll tell you why I'm not going to do it. Why I'm not going to do it is because I'm not inspired to do it. I am not inspired to run a half marathon. I'm just not. I don't have the inspiration to do it. Now, Barbara's going to do it because she's inspired to do it. And God bless her. But there are some things I am inspired to do. One thing I'm inspired to do is what I'm doing this morning. I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit because that's what we need as much as anything is inspiration. You know, the Bible says that the scriptures did not come by man's intellect, by man's wisdom, but men were inspired by God. They wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired to do so. There's nothing quite like being inspired to do something. Garth Brooks did a concert in Texas years ago, and in his encore, he took two cables and he strapped them onto him and took him all the way to the top of Texas Stadium. Then took him all the way out to the very end, and it was just an amazing thing to see. But before that happened, he was in rehearsal, and they said, Garth hooked the cables on him, and he took him up to the top of the stadium, and he yelled back, and he said, "Bring me down." And they brought him back down, and they said, "Garth, you got to practice this. How are you going to do it in the concert if you can't do it now?" He said, "Easy. When I got 65,000 people screaming, I'm inspired to do it. I can do it then because I'll be inspired to do it." You got to have inspiration. One of the reasons some teams won yesterday and some teams lost yesterday, because some were inspired to win. They call it motivation. They call it the momentum changes at times. And what happens is the team gets the momentum. What all it's saying, they get inspired. They get inspired. And what we need in our life always is inspiration. The Holy Spirit came to do a lot of things. We talked last week about some critical things He came to do. And I believe that the most critical thing the Holy Spirit came to do was in Genesis chapter 1. I really do believe that. That He came to eliminate chaos in our life. Because that's what He did when He hovered over the earth. He was bringing this chaotic disorder, death, and deadness that was in the planet. He was hovering over that. He was incubating over that, if you will. And He was causing it to come into order. He was getting rid of the chaos, and He was bringing it into order. There's nothing quite like having order, is it? Nothing like having a messy house and then having a clean house. How many have ever had a messy house? Yeah. How many has ever had a house in order? How many like your house in order more than you like it out of order? How many like your life in order more than you like it out of order? How many like your relationship in order more than you like it out of order? How many like peace more than you like not peace? And see, the Holy Spirit came to do that. The first and foremost thing He came to do was to eliminate chaos. Hallelujah. That's pretty good, isn't it? I read something this morning that's pretty good, too. Let me read it to you. I don't know if y'all know this guy named Ralph Martin, but this is what he said. "My Sunday special. The presence of negative emotions within your conscious mind is enough to destroy all your chances to live a productive life." Yeah. John, if you don't amen that, you're really bad. Jesus said this. By the way, Spencer, thank you Wednesday night. I'm here today inspired because you so inspired me Wednesday night. You inspired me. And you can clap on that. He inspired me. And I love this because when you're just chasing rabbits and you're just going. So Jesus stood one time and He looked at people and He said this. He says, "I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." And then He said these words, and when I was a little boy, I understood it in a different way and in the wrong way than I really understand it now. Jesus said this, "The thief, he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Now, I believed as a kid that the thief was the devil, and the devil came to rob and steal and kill and destroy. Well, he does. He's a liar. He's everything that's bad. But what Jesus will say, He wasn't talking about the devil. He was talking about people that were hirelings in the church. He was talking about people that was not giving them truth. And He said, "They will come to you and they'll rob from you, they'll kill you, and they'll destroy you." Now, how many, if He's not talking literally about physical death, I mean, once you kill me, how are you going to destroy me? If you're dead, you're dead, right? So if you kill me, how's destruction going to come after I'm murdered? He comes to kill your joy. He comes to kill your life. He comes to kill your enthusiasm. He comes to kill truth in your life, because if he can, he can bring devastation and destruction in your life. Because the only thing that ever brings destruction in my life, the Bible says, for the lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. For lack of vision, he said. He said, without a vision, people perish. And a vision is knowing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. A vision is understanding what God is saying and what God is doing. And the Bible's talked about, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out. And he said, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. There ain't no difference. I was always afraid about getting old because I wouldn't have visions anymore. And so every time a birthday comes along, I say, I'm fitting there where Joel said in the last days, I'm just going to dream. Until I understood what dream means. Young men see visions, but old men see it come to pass. Young men see visions, but old men see the reality of it. And they see what has been and what is and what will be. And their fathers who say, I've known him that is from the beginning. And it's more than what it was then. It's what it is now and what it's going to be. Because the best is yet still to come. See, my life is not over. My life's always beginning. The best is always yet to come. And so I started thinking about it. I started reading some stories in the Bible because I just needed to get inspired. Anybody ever just need to get inspired? So I just started reading some Old Testament stories. And I thought about Gideon. And I love the story of Gideon. You know the story. I've told it to you many times. You've read it yourself many times. God tells Gideon he's going to raise up some judges. Let me tell you why they raised up judges. Judges is... It's not one of the greatest books in the Bible. Judges is basically disobedience, devastation, deliverance. They disobeyed God, they got devastated, and God had to deliver them. Now, let me tell you, aren't you glad that God delivers? I am so glad that God delivers. But let me tell you something that's better than deliverance, not needing deliverance. The greatest testimonies in the church, and I've come up and I've heard all kinds, and it seems like the meaner you've been and the worse you've been, and the deeper you fall, and the greater testimony you got. Yeah. Ever heard? Man, he got such a testimony. They were so bad and they did this, but now they got such. Let me tell you the greatest testimony there is. I've served God all my life, and I've never had to go down that road, and I never needed deliverance because I've served God and had his inspiration inspired in my life all my life. That's the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony is not the guy who went down the road, suffered from prostitutes, spent all of his money, and now he's got the best testimony is the guy who didn't go down the road. Okay. See, the Bible says when you pray the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, but we know it's not the Lord's Prayer because the Lord never had to pray forgiveness. He never had to pray, Father, forgive me for my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. He never had to pray that. That was his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's my prayer, not his prayer. Now, if you want the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. I pray they may be one even as you and I are one. I pray not for them only, but I pray for all those who are going to come in the future. Let's get back to this one. My prayer is, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The best testimony is, don't go down the road. Be inspired, be lifted up, be filled with the Holy Spirit so you won't have to say, God, help. Amen? And see, he gives us the Holy Spirit. So I was back to Gideon. I was reading that story again, and I always jump over there to where the good part is because I like the good part. But my ADD can't get through all the other stuff. We gave Chris a log splitter. Man, and yesterday, the other day, I took it down to the house, and I split wood for about 30 minutes because my ADD didn't kick in, because I just went, anyway, it was neat to be able to do that. Gideon, I love the story, but it says that Gideon was at a place, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I hadn't seen that in forever. I just remembered him with his 300 men. But before he got with his 300 men, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It wasn't Gideon's might. It wasn't his value. It was the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Oh, wow. Let's read on here a little bit more. And I came across a man named Samson. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was tied up with ropes, and Samson said, you can tie me up if you want to. Just don't kill me. They said, we won't kill you. We just want to tie you up. All right, tie me up. So they tied him up, and then they taken him to a place called Lehi, and the Philistines began to shout triumphantly. And that just ticked him off. No, I didn't let you tie me up. And I didn't let you say what you want to say, but don't start this stuff. And so the Bible says he broke it like it was nothing. And he picked up a jawbone of a donkey. It was skull. He picks up the skull. Because some of you look at me, how do you pick up a jawbone of a donkey? It was a skull. And make it plain. So he picks up this jawbone and he kills 1,000 Philistines. 1,000 Philistines. One man. And then this riddle says, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have heaped them up in piles. With the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 Philistines. The Holy Spirit will give you the ability to overcome the most tremendous odds that are against you. That's what it's all about. He gives you the ability to overcome the most tremendous odds that are against you. And then the same man who did so many wonderful things, one day a woman comes into his life. And she says, where's your strength? He says, if you'll tie me up with some new ropes, my strength will be gone. Really? So they just tied him up with some new ropes, and the Philistines come in, and he just pops them ropes like they're nothing. She said, you lied to me. You lied to me. He said, well, if you'll do this. And that was. Then finally he says, you know, if you cut my hair, my strength will be gone. Really? Really? Three vows. He was a Nazarite from his womb. His mother and him made him a Nazarite. Nazarite had three things. Don't touch anything dead. Don't cut your hair. And what's the other one? Don't drink no wine. Man, that'd be a tough vow. Here's three things. Don't drink any wine. Don't touch anything dead, and don't cut your hair. Nazarite vow. He finally does lose his strength. And the Bible says that when she finally cut his hair, he didn't know that his strength was gone. Let me tell you when you know your strength is gone. When you need it and you don't have it. That's when you know it's gone. You don't know it's gone until you need it, and it's not there. Well, let me enlighten you in the story. Cutting his hair didn't take his strength. There were two other vows of the Nazarite vow, too. Don't touch anything dead. The guy was killing people all the time. He had touched dead bodies numerous occasions. And he kept right on killing. Kept right on doing these magnificent things because he had this magnificent strength. Every time you see him, the man had a problem with two things, women and wine. Every time you saw him, he was at a party. He was drinking and having a big time over and over and over again. But if a Philistine came in, he had the strength. So what happened to his strength? Because he said, if you cut my hair, it was his confession that lost his strength. It was his confession that he thought a loving, kind, gracious God would break covenant with him. We lose our strength when we think that this loving, kind, gracious God is upset with us or will take his Holy Spirit from us. He will not take his Holy Spirit from us. You just may not know he's in there and he's doing and wanting to do what he wants to do in and through you. Because one day, after they'd plucked his eyeballs out and put him in a dungeon, basically, and he's pushing this big ball wheel, grain, thrashing out grain, however long it took, but one day, I envisioned it like this years ago. One day, with his eyes plucked out into deep blindness, and he's threshing out this grain, he feels something touch the back of his neck. He just starts doing this maybe and going, wow, what's that? What's that? And then he remembered his covenant with God and God's covenant with him. And he said, Lord, one more time. One more time. Would you just do it one more time? One more time, Lord. One more time. And the Bible says that he did more in his death than he did his entire life. Because he told the little lad, take me where the pillars are. Take me where this whole thing's held up. And with the thrust of the Holy Spirit and the covenant God that he served, he killed more in his death than he ever did in his life. Because God wants you to know this, some of you to know this. God's going to do more in what seems is a death in your life than he's ever done in your entire life. What the enemy means for bad, harm, God means for good. And don't ever think that where you are is where you end and where you stay. It's only the place that you happen to be at this very moment. But what God will do, he'll do more out of your pain and out of your suffering than you can ever imagine. Ever, ever imagine. You know, I asked the Lord, because I love Eagles Way Church. I love the church. I love the body of Christ. I just love church. And I don't love the building. This building ain't a whole lot to love. But I sure do love the people who make up the body of Christ. I don't care who they are and where they are and where they're from, what denomination they are. I love the church because Jesus loves the church. I love the church because the Holy Spirit's in the church. You know what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to church? The body comes alive. See, we're not an organization, we're an organism. Organizations function from the head. Organisms function from the heart. Say that again. Organizations function from here. You've got to function from here. A lot of times, I forget, this thing's not up here. Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom, you got to be born again. And the guy said, Lord, if I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born? He said, no. You got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be born from above. Because that's where I live. And that's where my your inspiration will come from, not here. Because when I try to figure it all out here, I get confused every single time. When I just, some people call it intuition. Some people call it this, some people call it that. It's just hearing God's voice. And he'll speak to you about anything and everything you need to know about anything. But you just got to, and I found that usually it's that first thing I felt about it. When I start contemplating and think about it, I lose it. I lose. But if I just go with that first feeling, if I go with that first inclination, it's usually God. That's the decision I need to make. I'm a Mike and I, since his wife passed away, we've been discussing a lot of things and what he needs to do here. And my gosh, we changed our mind. How many times, Mike? What you need to do? I mean, we've changed this. We've said this, said that, and just we've changed our mind so many times that I thought one day he's so confused. And forgot I was part of the confusion. But I just thought, the man is so confused. I remember saying, leaving his house one day, I was going home, I thought, he's so confused. I thought, you knucklehead, you can help him get confused. But he had this inclination out of the beginning what to do. And you know what? He always goes back to that first thought. And Mike, Ann spoke to me this week, and in her last 6 months, Ann could only say three things, three words: "Let's fix this." Let's fix this. And when I did a eulogy, I know what she said when she walked up to the throne. Let's fix this. And it got fixed. I've done you disservice, and I've done me disservice, because I should have shared this with you 2 months ago. And I didn't. Part of it because I just kept thinking it was going to change. I just thought it was going to change. I just had this anticipation that it's going to change. And because in the past I've seen it change. But it didn't. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Until I had to call the elders in, the board of directors, and have a heart-to-heart talk, and how deep in the hole we have gotten. And how many thousands of dollars that we're behind budget for the year. And Ann spoke to me and just said, "Let's fix this. Let's fix this." I've been embarrassed to say anything to you. I was embarrassed to talk to the board. I was embarrassed because I should have done something 2 months ago. But you know what? I can't back up. I can't back. I can't. But I'm here today. And what I'm asking you for in your bulletin, there's a little commitment card in there. And what I'm asking you to do over the next 2 months, let God speak to you how much that you can, above your tithes and off and the tithe, how much you can help us with. And let me tell you something. You know, sometimes people, because I can't give thousands or I can't give hundreds, I don't give anything. The tens and the twenties and the forties, the fifties are just as important as the thousands, because the tens and the twenties and the thirties and the forties make up the thousands. And I'm gonna have to heed my own preaching today. Because I was gonna share with you the number. How many thousands of dollars that we're down. But my first inclination this week, I felt God speak to me and say, don't limit me. So just trust me. And so I'm going to do that. And it's hard to do. But I want to tell you. I want to tell you. Badly, I want to tell you. Badly, badly, badly. I want to tell you. But I'm not. But I feel some hair on my shoulders. And I feel the same God who anointed me years ago anoint me now. And I feel the same God who's inspired this church and spoken to this church and given this church vision, given this church hope, and given this church all that it needs to be. But I want to tell you, I'm asking God one more time. I want to see just an outpour of your Spirit in our hearts and our lives, that we go beyond revelation. We go beyond illumination. And we let God inspire us. Because I'm telling you what, ain't nothing like being inspired to do it. Nothing like it. I don't tell her. I've been loved watching Barbara put on little tights. And that ain't why. That's another story. That's a different inspiration. I just had this conversation with you, Randy, in the bathroom. Remember, not this. I got to finish this because this is really sounding bad. But Randy, I was coming out of the bathroom. Randy was coming in and wanted to knock me down. And Randy said, man, I'm glad it knocked you down because I'd have had to preach. And I said, yeah, it'd have been tough this morning because I ain't got any notes for you to preach with. And then he said, well, that's good because I ain't got no filter. I just say what I say. And I said, I don't have one either. And he says, I noticed. So, where was I? So, yeah. And I've watched her because she's got this goal, because she'll be 60 years old next year. And I know she don't look like it. She looks like she's about 35. That's because she's been with me. Anyway. She inspires me. She don't want to do it. It's just she's inspired to do it. It's a different thing. And so I just sat down and wait on her. She goes and she comes in all hot and sweaty. But she's inspired. And she told me she's going to run a half marathon. She first told me that, I laughed. Inside, I didn't laugh out loud. I'm not that dumb. But she'll reach it because she's inspired to do it. And I just want to tell you today, church, you got to get inspired. Ain't nothing like being inspired. Nothing like inspiration. Maybe you're here. You've wanted to do certain things. Just hadn't been able to do it. Well, I'll tell you simply what the problem is. It's not because you don't know what you need to do, because you do. But there's a lack of inspiration inside of you to get it done. But Holy Spirit wants to inspire you. And He'll inspire you to get it done. I want you to stand, and I'm going to ask you this morning, you're here. Maybe. If there's an inkling of a doubt, no, please listen carefully. If there's an inkling of a doubt in you as to whether or not you've ever been born again by the Spirit of the living God, that's too much doubt. That's too much doubt. I want to give you an opportunity to come down here and allow the God of the Spirit to make sure inside you, you know the Spirit of the living God resides in you. I heard a guy say one time, because you stand in the garage, doesn't make you a car. Sometimes because we stand in church, doesn't make us a Christian. If you have any doubt, if you've got an inkling of a doubt, the Spirit of the living God resides within you. Or you're in a place where the odds are tremendously against you. The odds are just way, way over the possibility and the capability of you. The same God who gave Samson the strength, the same God who rained down manna from heaven, the same God who opened the Red Sea, the same God who did all the miracles of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the same God that we serve today. And He will, by the power of His Holy Spirit, do a work in you that only He can do. So if you doubt in any way, just come and stand, or you here, and the odds are just overwhelming you. And you need the Holy Spirit of the living God to seal it to your heart and to see God come through like only He can come through. Just come and stand. I saw you come in today, and I told you out there, and I'm going to tell you again, darling, all is well. All is well. And your mom will be fine. Because what's here doesn't matter. It's what's in here that matters. And the Spirit of the living God is in here with her. And all will be well. You just trust Him. And you be at peace. There's nothing you've done or nothing that's happened has caused any of this. There's no wrongdoings. There's no wrongdoings. It is what it is. It is what it is. And all we need to do now is to trust the God of the Spirit. Okay? So Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray, God, this tremendous odd that seems to be overwhelmingly against, we bind it in the name of Christ. We set her free. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. It's okay. Father, we just thank you for what you've done already in her life. Thank you, God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for just speaking to these two precious people and bringing them to the place that you've brought them. Thank you, Father, and we just release everything good, and what seems to be an overwhelming odd is not. Not with you. Not with you. With you, there's always the majority. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You just keep remembering, He's the God who overcomes all the tremendous odds that's against us. He's a good God. Father, we just thank you for Chelsea. Just show me where you just need to look at me a second. You got to start saying every day, I am who God said I am. Okay? Not who you say, not what other people say. Every single day, you look at yourself through the eyes of God. You let God be the one who says who you are. I mean, you confess it, Every time a negative thought comes to you, every time that it just reject it, and you just start holding on that God says who you are. You know how much God loves you?
A whole lot.
Just bless the Father. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I just really feel that God has spoken to some hearts today. And the Holy Spirit's going to become, that last song we sang would captivate us, is going to become a reality in your life. That the Spirit of the living God is really going to captivate your heart. Because I found out a long, long time ago, and I have to remind myself of it. Sometimes I think, if I just tell them, they'll do it. But I just could just, no, until the Holy Spirit takes it, makes it alive, quickens it, nothing really transpires. It's all by, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Says the Lord. Spencer Wednesday night, I'd ask him Tuesday, would he share something? Well, Spencer got here and he thought I just wanted him to share that one thing. and so when he came in, he said, you're going to help me, aren't you? And something like that. And I said, no, I ain't doing anything. He said, I thought I had 5 minutes. I said, no, you got 60 minutes. You got the whole deal. But you know what? The Holy Spirit so used him, though. Just flowed out of him. And what you got today, if you got anything, just came out of that service Wednesday night because God inspired me through him. I got inspired. And realized, man, I got to come back to the roots of this thing. I'm reading a book, rereading a book called Primal Christianity. And I always thought that word primitive and primal was a bad word. It's a great word. It means what it was in its original state. And so that's what the Lord's just been speaking to me. I want to, you know, take you back to the original purpose. Mike Oliver, before he left, in his office one day, gave me a prophetic word. And he looked at me and he said, God wants you never to leave your original vision. Never get far removed from your original vision. And of course, my first thought was, I don't know what it was, what it is. But I do. I do. Part of it. It's what I'm doing right now. That's part of it. And it's got to go back and be who God says I am. To be what God wants me to be. To do what God wants me to do. So let's worship. Let's just worship the Lord.